Verses 17 through 26. Let that play a little longer. That's saturated. That's Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. And then I'm going to skip over into John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 21 to 23. Luke 5, 17 to 26. John 20, 21 to 23. I'll be reading from the NIV. When you have the word, you say, I have the word. I want to make sure you guys ready for trunk or treat. I see my ghouls and goblins. Amen. The Bible reads, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. And they had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on the mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves. Now I know that's the heart. Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knows what's in your heart. And asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God.
Amen.
Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. I'm going right over to John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, hallelujah, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Today, I want to talk to this church about how Christians prefer abilities over authority. How Christians prefer abilities over authority. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're here. No rain can stop us. No hell can stop us. God, we are here to praise and serve and hear from you. So God, at this time right now, I'm asking you to hide me behind your cross. Do what it is that you want to do, Father. I will be your vessel so that your people can hear directly from you. No more of me. Don't decrease me. eliminate me, Lord. Take me out the way so that you can speak to your people. Father, I pray that this word touches the hearts and the minds of your people, that we don't leave here the same, but we leave transformed. That's the only way, Lord, that we look more like you. And God, not just us, but the people that see us transformed will give you the praise. We'll give you the honor and give you the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be saved. Hallelujah. The worst threat to eternal life. The worst threat to eternal life, I used to think it was the devil. I used to think that the devil was the worst threat to eternal life. Maybe Googling and albums, maybe you thought it was. But I thought it was the devil. I used to think that it was him because I used to think that he could kill me. But the devil can't kill me. Because if he could kill me, he would have tried to kill me a long time ago. But I made it through all that hell, devil, and I'm still here. What about anybody that went through some hell in their lives and the devil was after you? But you're still here. He could not kill you. He is not the biggest threat to your eternal life. He's just a salesman. He just tries to lure you. The biggest threat to eternal life is sin. Sin is the greatest threat to eternal life. It is the infraction. Sin is the infraction that breaks our connection, our agreement with God. And any disconnection from God is a threat to eternal life. And sin just packs on itself. Sin after sin. And it builds up. It's a revenue. It builds up against you. It becomes a debt that you in your own abilities can never get out of. You cannot get out of sin. The wages of sin is death. Sin pays you to be separated from God. The wages of sin is death. You can die in eternal death because of sin. I know we always talk about sin and the devil a lot and hell a lot, but I'm bringing sexy back.
Come on now.
But with God, imagine this. Imagine being on death row. You're in the courtroom. You're on death row because of the sins you committed. With a full of people in the same room that committed sins. And the sentence is against you. And Satan is a prosecuting attorney. And he's like, yeah, we got it. And while Jesus is praying, your faith don't fail you, Satan is like, he did it again. I got him. And he's going where I'm going. It's over for you. Imagine that. It's nothing you can do. You're on death row. You're going to do life for eternity. And the judge comes up. The judge. And he says that your sins are pardoned. It's wiped away. It's wiped clean. Imagine that you had life against you. And the judge said, it's wiped clean. It's forgiven. And the devil's like, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. Yes, he can. He's the judge. He's the king. He gets to forgive who he wants to forgive. Hallelujah. Those who have the authority to forgive is the only way to be free from a debt of sin. I said, those who have the authority to forgive is the only way to be free from a debt to sin.
That's good.
Come on. Touch your neighbor and say, I got authority. Let's touch your neighbor on the other side and say, I have authority. Jesus Oh man, this is so good. Jesus is in his ministry after performing several healings and miracles. He gets to his hometown of Capernaum. Jesus lives a majority of his adulthood in Capernaum. And he comes home. Can you imagine that the place is packed? Come on, there's not enough stadiums in the DMV that can pack the people if Jesus was in town.
Come on.
Jesus is in town.
Come on.
And this place is packed, right? From people all over Jerusalem and Judea. Oh, I can imagine it right now. Jesus is in town. Oh, man.
Yes.
Did you get a ticket? I'm trying to be there. I'm trying to be there, right? And it's packed. But also that is there is the Pharisees. The Pharisees are also in attendance. And the Pharisees are the experts of the Mosaic Law. Oh, they're here to try to trip Jesus up. They try to see if they can find a mistake. They're trying to trip him up. Right? Come on, somebody. And they're there. Is there anybody out here that's ever been in a situation where you tried to put together a celebration? You try to put together a party. You were being celebrated, right? And you trying to bring people together to have a good time. But your haters there.
Yeah.
How did y'all get invited?
Yeah.
Who invited y'all? But they there. And they're there to try to intimidate you. They're there to try to trip you up. Come on, somebody. Oh, man. Come on. Is there anybody that's trying to get over some habits? I know, me too. Hallelujah. Right? And you trying to get on a diet. Say you trying to get on a diet. And you've been on the diet for 2 weeks and you're like, man, I lost 2 pounds. And I'm doing my thing, right? And as soon as you get to work, they got Krispy Kreme. Your favorite, glazed and chocolate. Come on, man. You know, right? I mean, it's I'm trying to get over habits and addictions. And I'm going through my emails to try to delete the stuff off my email. And then one of them addiction things and came through the spam. How did it get through? You know. What? Come on. The Lord's been blessing me because I don't know who I'm talking to, but smoking was my friend. That's how I got to relax a little bit. Now I didn't put away the cigarettes. I didn't put away the weed.
Speak about it.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I didn't put the weed on it. I didn't put the cigarettes. I've been coming to church all this month. Right? Right? And we have a church outside. And I ain't smelling that tar. I'm smelling that weed. What I'm trying to say is, when I thought to do good, evil is always present. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to do good, but evil is always trying to hang out. It's always lurking. It's always present. This place is absolutely crowded, y'all. Right? It's crowded. And it's amazing that the story zooms in on this group of men. This group of men. I mean, it's packed. Y'all gotta imagine that. This thing is packed. Jesus is at time. Come on. And it's packed. And they zoom in on this group of men. And the group of men, they're carrying a man that's paralyzed. Can I talk to you? He's stuck. He can't move. Everybody around me moving. But he's paralyzed. He's stuck. He can't move. And the Bible doesn't tell us, Elder, how he got this way. It doesn't tell us what happened for you to be stuck, to be paralyzed. I can't move. I'm trying to move. I'm trying to get somewhere. But the Bible doesn't say what happened to him. Perhaps he was born this way. Perhaps he had a hardened heart. And something in his life, somebody may have passed away, and he had a heart of stone, and he didn't want to go no more. His loved one moved on and went on, but he didn't want to go on. Maybe he was born that way. Maybe he was going through some depression. Maybe he had a heart attack or a stroke. that made him handicapped, that kept him stuck. Uh-huh. But he's stuck.
Right.
He can't move. Uh-huh. And he's got to lean on strangers. Come on, I'm talking to somebody now. Uh-huh. He's got to lean on strangers to help him to go see Jesus. Uh-huh. Is there anybody that's ever been in a situation where you couldn't move and you had to depend on a bunch of strangers to help move you, to present you before the Lord? All I want to do is move again. All I want to do is live again. I can't live like this. I just want to love again. I just want some hope. And now I got friends or family members or some strangers that I'm dependent on to carry me to Jesus. And before, if I never knew what it felt like to move, that'd be one thing.
Right.
But all of a sudden, one day it just happened. And now I can't move. Now I'm stuck. Now I'm handicapped. Now I'm paralyzed. And the men are trying to carry him through the door, but the door is too crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is attacked. You ain't getting in. You should got a ticket. You crazy? Girl, boy, I had this ticket months ago. You crazy? Right? And they're trying to get him through the front door. They can't. So these guys grabs him, the handicapped man, and they somehow, I don't know how they did it, Elder, but they were able to put him on top of the place in which Jesus was preaching and teaching. And these men must have anticipated something great to happen, because they ripped the ceiling and they were able to put him in front of Jesus.
Mm.
Come on. Can you imagine people who want it more than you do?
Come on.
Can you imagine people want to see the miracle of Jesus even more than you do?
Yeah.
How do you think you made it from the club alive?
Yeah.
Somebody was lifting your name before the Lord. How do you think you made it from that traumatic situation that you were in? How do you think you made it from that toxic relationship that you were in? Somebody was lifting your name before the Lord. Somebody had a grandmother that was praying through. Oh my God, a lot of grandmothers that was praying through. That's how I made it home, Elder, from the club. I should be dead and gone for what I did. But somebody was lifting my name up because they wanted to see a miracle.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This man who was paralyzed is now in the presence of Jesus. Oh, I'm so excited, because can you imagine the anticipation in the room? This is why everybody came to see. We came in here because we want to see a miracle. Look, there's a handicapped dude. There's a guy that's stuck. Ooh, girl, I told you this is about to go down. Ooh, hey, bro, this is about to go down. Now, this is why we did it. Can you imagine the anticipation? They are so excited because they got somebody in front of Jesus, and we're about to see the miracle. We're about to see. Yeah. We're about to see it. And the crowd is ready. And they're ready. I can see the Pharisees right now, the experts in the law, saying, uh-oh, here we go again. Here comes another one of those miracles. Oh my God. And Jesus doesn't show off his ability, but he shows off his authority. Come on. This time, he says, friend, your sins are forgiven. I'm waiting on him to slam dunk. Your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine the air that was in the room? Everybody's waiting on the slam dunk, the touchdown. No. Jesus says, with his authority, your sins are forgiven. Oh my God. The man is is still laying there on this stretcher. He's not even moving. My sins are forgiven. They told me that when I gave my life to you, that my debt was going to be free. They told me that all of that trauma and all of those cycles that I was involved in would go away. I'm still here. I'm still stuck. Somebody lied to me. Why am I still in debt? They told me that God will supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And my bank account is still the same. Is there anybody here? Come on. Everybody, their hearts are still set on his ability and not the authority. And it's amazing because the Pharisees, I just want to teach you a little bit. The Pharisees understands what's going on. They're like, oh, hold on. Everybody else is like, what is this? The Pharisees is like, hold on. He just showed us his authority. The only person that can forgive sins is God. He just separated himself. And by him separating himself, now he separates himself from even us, because we've seen miracles come from prophets before. This ain't new. We didn't see miracles. We'll let you do your miracles, Jesus. We'll let you show them your abilities. Our agenda is still going forward. We still tricking them. We're still deceiving them. Why are you doing those miracles? Why are you showing off your abilities? But no, Jesus is showing authority. He is separating himself from a lawyer to a judge. While the Pharisees are still here, he separated himself. Come on. They understand that the miracles are temporal. I just want to teach you.
Yeah, come on.
Can I just teach you what's for you? I want a miracle. I know we all want a miracle. Oh, give me my miracle. But understand, miracles are temporary. They don't change your behavior. A miracle can't save your life.
Come on.
I just want to teach you. Not a miracle. A miracle is temporary. I don't want to talk to somebody. Come on now. See. That bill that you need, you waiting on a miracle, that bill that you waiting on, and you waiting on that miracle, I know I'm waiting on one too. I'm going to be broke next month.
Come on.
You understand? I'm going to be broke next month. I need a miracle. I need somebody to pray this diabetes off me. And when God delivers you from that diabetes, next year, you're going to have diabetes again. It's going to come back. Because a miracle doesn't change behavior.
There you go. There you go.
That's good.
For non-believers.
Come on.
That's what a miracle is. It's an accelerated blessing. But it doesn't change your behavior. You can go back and still do what you've been doing. I didn't have that bypass miracle. But now I'm worse off a year later. Right? And the Pharisees understand this. And they're like, uh-uh. And they're in their thoughts. They're thinking to themselves. They're debating with themselves. And we know from last week that when you're debating in your mind after seeing God's clear message and his clear work, that's a hardened heart.
Come on.
That's a hardened heart. That's you demonstrating an unbelief in God's clear message and work. You know he did it. But you're trying to figure out, no, that couldn't be God. There's got to be a scientific explanation for
it.
Right. Oh. I'm trying to figure out. That's a hardened heart. And Jesus asked them, hold on. Because Jesus knows your heart. Well, you said, Jeff, he was thinking. But that's your heart. Because we learned that the heart is your mind. Your emotions, your consciousness, your will. God knows my heart. So that means he knows your thoughts. And he asked them, he says, listen. What's easier? What's easier? Is it easier for me to say, get up and walk? Or is it easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven?
Come on.
What's easier? And we as believers know that it's easier to say your sins are forgiven.
Right.
Except that married couple that got into it this morning. I know that's going to be hard to forgive. Right? But. We know it's a lot harder to witness a miracle. Some of us are waiting on a miracle now. Some of us prayed the Lord for something and that miracle didn't happen. And you're still mad at God about it. I just want to talk to somebody. Let me minister. You're still mad at God because that miracle didn't happen. It's harder for a miracle to take place than for you to forgive somebody being in your authority. It's harder for you to showcase those abilities than for you to show off your authority. Hallelujah. I had some people talk to me the other day, and they were, Jeff, would you pray for my husband? Pray for my husband. He needs to change. He needs to change. And I said, you know, I'm going to pray for him, no doubt. But forgiveness will do. What's easy? Forgiveness, right? Somebody called and they would, hey, pray for my babies. They out, they doing some riff. They just in college, they doing their thing. And it's horrible. And I said, I'm going to pray for them. But it's easier to forgive.
Yeah.
Jeff, would you pray for my mind? It's a battlefield going on in my mind. I feel guilt. I feel shame. I'm going to pray for a miracle.
Come on, son.
But it's easier to forgive.
Yeah.
Stop settling for God's ability when you can use His authority.
Yeah.
The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue has to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. That's authority. Come on. Jesus tells these Pharisees that I need you to know this one thing, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I need you to know I got that authority. I'm not just some popcorn prophet. I'm not a prophet at all. I'm God. And I have the authority as the judge. I'm the Son of Man. The Son of Man. It's amazing. If you all know anything about theology, there's a discrepancy with Son of Man and Son of God.
And I
was doing some research, and it gives me even chills right now. And I just want to embellish a little bit if I can continue to keep your attention. The Son of God, we usually think that that's Jesus' divinity. And then the Son of Man is God's humanity. But you would be wrong if you said that, but that would be kind of misrepresenting the term. Son of God, and I learned this from my brother, the Son of God, that term, yes, Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yes.
He is the only begotten Son.
That's right.
He is that.
Right.
No doubt about it. No debate.
That's right.
But the Son of God tag feeds more into the fact that Jesus is under submission to the Father. That means that this is the mission, and he falls submission. I know it's a cuss word to the wives, but it's submission. I know I'm cussing. That means that Jesus is falling under the mission of the Father.
Yeah.
That's what that tag means.
Yeah.
It's like you are the children of God, which means that you fall under the mission of the Father.
Yeah. Wow.
Let me get some water. But the Son of Man. But the Son of Man, I found this in Daniel.
Come on.
I just want to embellish.
Yes.
In the book of Daniel, the prophet, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that as he was seeing a vision, the Lord had invited him into the inner courts.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And while he's in the intercourse, he sees the Ancient of Days enthroned. We don't even give him a name. It's called the Ancient of Days enthroned. And Daniel is giving a description of what he sees. I ain't gonna go into that because I'm gonna make people mad. But he went to the description of what he looked like. Hair of wool. I ain't gonna go. That takes away from the message. And he's showing us that there is judgment going on in the inner courts while the Ancient of Days is enthroned. And coming in on a cloud of heavens is the Son of Man coming in. And Ancient of Days gives him glory and gives him sovereign power and gives him all authority to judge. That's the Son of Man's office. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
He's now in the office of the judge. And he's sent to earth in the same office.
Wow, that's good.
In the same authority.
That's good.
So when you see Son of Man, that is a divine term with judgment. Come on. And this is why the Bible says, and no man hath ascended up into heaven, but he who came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I'm here and there. Because it's my office of authority. I cast judgments here and there. My authority. Come on. So the Son of Man is a heavenly being. And his authority, he has the right to forgive sins. He has the right to wipe it away because he's the judge. That's his office. That's his authority. Come on. It's so amazing. I'm so sorry because that gives me so much chance. Oh, that's his authority. But the whole crowd is sitting here watching, Elder, and Jesus says, you know what? If I may, you know what? Get up and walk. You hear me? Get up. Yeah. Get your things up and walk. And they, oh!
You see, I told you.
I told you. And he gets up and walks. He gets up and he walks. And everybody goes wild. And it's the biggest awe. Oh, that was so good. Did you catch it? Yes. Did you see it? I saw it. Yeah. And that was never the point. Because the people were so caught on his ability. And now his authority. The ability is temporal.
The authority is
temporal.
Come on.
His ability is temporal. But his authority is eternal. I saw a miracle before. I saw a miracle when I was 12 years old. My father, who was once a drug addict, a womanizer, and just because his kids around, I won't say that word. But he was a very, very bad father. Very bad father. And I resented him for a very, very, very long time. And when I turned 12, he gave his life to the Lord.
Amen.
And you guys are saying amen. But I got mad.
Wow.
Because I got mad because I wanted an opportunity to kick his behind. I wanted revenge. But he changed. He changed his life for the Lord. Jeff, why were you so mad? I was so mad because when I was 3 years old, and you gotta, parents, please watch what you do or say in front of those babies because they will remember. I was 3 years old. I know that because my parents were still married. I come from a divorced home. They were married, still married when I was 3. And I saw my father cast, I don't care what the argument was.
Right.
I saw my father cast my mother into the TV and the stand, and it all collapsed on the ground. And I remember standing there crying. I can remember it vividly, three. And my mother came over and went, oh, baby, it's okay. And I'm like, it ain't okay. And I said to myself, at three, I'm helpless now, but when I get old enough, I'm going to swear you out.
Real.
I'm going to use my abilities against you. I got an opportunity. When I turned 17, I moved back in with my brother and my father. And my brother and I were big time football players. And my dad didn't want none. He didn't want none. I was like a buck 85, and he was like a buck 55. And we stood at about the same height, and I had an opportunity. My brother was disobedient. He knew he was supposed to do the dishes that night. He knew he was supposed to do the dishes that night, but he didn't. And my father, my brother was too big to get a spanking. So my father just tackled him. Said, like, I'm going to go for broke. I'm going to tackle him. And so my father tackles my brother, who was Mr. Missouri. My brother was a big-time quarterback. He was Mr. Missouri. And my brother calls my name, Jeff! Come on, man, I got him! It's going down. I jump out of the bed, put my shoes on because I wanted some traction just in case he slipped. He can't caught me. And I ran in there and I saw. Now, if you hear my brother tell a story, he says the opposite way. He says that he was holding my dad, but that's not the way it was. My dad had my brother in a lock. And when I came in there, he said, get him, Jeff, get him. And I sat there and I watched. And my dad said, Jeff, Chris didn't wash the dishes. I don't know what else to do. So I had to wrap him up and let him know I'm not playing. And this was my opportunity. I mean, I have an excuse. This is our star quarterback.
Right.
That's my excuse.
Right.
You was hurting my brother.
Right.
And as I sat there, I remember saying, Dad, let him go. Let him go. I saw a man forgiven. I didn't see a miracle. Damn, I didn't see the miracle. I saw a life that was changed because he was forgiven. Because he was forgiven. And I had the opportunity to use my ability. Take my revenge. But I chose to use my authority. I forgave my father that day. Because of what I saw. What I saw the Lord do through him. And my father today, I wouldn't trade in the world. We have the best relationship that you could even imagine. I love that man so much. He's taught me so much. If you ever seen the movie Unusual Suspect,
yeah,
my dad is like Kaiser Sose.
Yes, sir.
He can barely move. He's handicapped. He's stuck. He can't even. This is how he walks. You guys see him on the 14th. You see him. Dad, get a wheelchair. He gonna get it. Okay? He may never be healed. He may never see the miracle in his body.
Wow.
But what difference does it make? He's forgiven. Eternal life. In John chapter 20, the Bible says that Jesus tells the disciples, peace be with you. And, I gotta read it. I want you to hear this. Open your Bibles. I'm sorry that I'm messing up tradition, but I'm not a traditional pastor, okay? So we're gonna have some fun, and it's going to be different, but I want to touch your heart. Grab your Bible. John 20, verses 21 to 23. Watch what happens. He says, peace be with you. As I was... Peace be with you. As I was sent as Son of Man, I am sending you. Listen, remember, the Father sent him as one with authority. Right? He was sent from heaven with authority in the office of authority to be able to judge. And he says that since the way I was sent, I am sending you. And he breathed on them. Receive the Holy Spirit with power and authority. He gave them power and authority. The power and authority he had. And then watch the next verse, that last verse. Watch what it says. It says, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. Hear me, saints. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
Wow.
Authority.
Wow.
He gave you the authority to forgive sins. That's judging. That's being able to be in a position of judge. He gave them the ability to forgive. And he doesn't say in this text, if you don't forgive, then you won't be forgiven. He doesn't say that in that text. He says, if you don't forgive, they ain't forgive. Let me talk to you. This is serious. He's entrusted with you the authority, the same power he has as a judge to forgive sins. He entrusted it in you, Christians. You call yourself Christians. He gave it to you, entrusting you that you would be a good judge to forgive sins. Not using your abilities. Not leaning yourself to abilities, but leaning on your authority.
Yes.
Yeah.
The greatest example, as I unzip my shirt, make sure that's Jesus. I always want to do that. As I unzip my shirt, the greatest example that we've ever seen in the history of mankind was Jesus on the cross, submitting his abilities to the cross. He could have came off of it. Why would I die for you? Why are you cussing me, beating me, lying on me, betraying me?
Thank you, Lord.
And he says, some of the most important words you ever hear, he says, Father, forgive them, while he is still in authority. Just because he submitted his ability doesn't mean he lost his authority. He submitted it to the cross.
That's good.
And he stayed in his office as the authority and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You have the authority. What are you going to do with it?
That's good.
Are you going to use it the way the enemy wants you to use it? And use your abilities? The Pharisees was cool with that. He can do his miracles. But don't you use your authority. Or will you use your authority the way Jesus did? The same way he used his authority with you when he forgave you. That choice is yours. For the next 7 days, you can go ahead and light up that music. For the next 7 days, whatever is causing you to lose your authority, instead you're using your ability. If there is something that is causing you to want to lean on your ability rather than your authority, this week for 7 days, I need for you to write down those names. This past week, when I wrote down those names, y'all, my wife and I were laughing. More names were added. I didn't realize that so many people that were in my life that offended me that I hadn't forgiven. That was restricting me from being in the office of authority. This week, those 7 days, I want you to write down those names. Pray for that those names, because I know it's plural. And I want you to think of one thing that is positive about them. Every day for 7 days, church. If we're going to be a church that is not just a hearer, but doers, be obedient. And I don't say that because I'm your dad. I say that because I'm your co-laborer, because Jesus expects for us to look like him. The Father is looking for his sons and his daughters. And the only way we're going to look like his sons and daughters is through our application. 7 days, and we'll meet you back here on Sunday. The last Sunday, we'll be outdoors. Praise God. At this time, I want to pray. I want to give an offering. And if you would stick around this church, we want to give a Holy Communion. It's time. It's time for us to remember him in that way. Let me pray. We'll do offerings. I'll pray. We'll do communion. I'll pray. We'll turn off the camera. And we'll let the Lord have his way. Amen. Father. You like how that rhymed too. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for just making everything well. As I see the smiles on people's faces, maybe we thought that you couldn't pull this off. Maybe we thought that this transition would be harder than we could imagine. But Lord, we thank you for being a God of authority. And not just a God of abilities. We thank you for allowing us to send us. You said greater work shall we do. How is that possible? It's possible because you gave us the authority and you gave us your power. And Lord, we will do our best to not take your power and your charge for granted. But would you seal this message in our hearts so that the next time we get into an argument, the next time somebody tries to run, cut us off, or flicks us off, that we don't take for granted our authority to forgive them. To forgive them. Because that's the only thing that can elicit change. Faith in Jesus Christ. Forgiven. Forgiven. In Jesus' name.